Oosty, baby.
Welcome in the PGA Championship edition of Putting for Dough. There's going to be a lot of that this week as we now shift our sights to a major. We look back, though, at the Byron Nelson, what was for a brief moment or two. Ben Rossa, Eitan Shander, Chris is producing. So we welcome you in. Of course, we remind you, hit that thumbs up button, please. And make sure you're subscribed here to the Odd Shopper community, the ever-growing Ben Rossa Odd Shopper community. So let's do what we always do. Let's quickly look back. I don't know how much there is to extract from a tournament pre-major, but there was some good, some bad, and always some ugly. And then we could kind of set everything aside and really dive deep. I brought my knife and fork here for the PGA.
Yeah, it's a big one this week. Very exciting. Last week was not that. Was kind of exciting, though, honestly. The course was just stupid. I'm going in reverse order. That was the ugly. I didn't like the course. It's too easy. Guys were making
way too easy.
Way too easy. But, you know, going into Sunday, I actually felt really good. Xander, who made the cut on the number, surged. Spieth was right there, and Neiman. All of them were guys that were in the hunt for me, but they could not close. Neiman had one of the worst rounds I've ever seen him play. No exaggeration. Yeah. He shot two over par on a course that if you shoot like three or four under par, you probably lose strokes to the field. So it was one of those. And then the one silver lining, Steven Yeager clawed through that cut, actually found himself slightly inside that top 40. So I did get some payout there. Overall, I was pretty happy with the week, even though KH Lee was not even close to my card. Really cannot believe you went back to back at that course.
I had Sung Hoon Kang, over.
Yeah, Sung Kang is confirmed not playing good golf, unfortunately.
Well, when you can't cheat, it's hard to win.
That's right? True.
I mean, I think we've pretty much confirmed that about him. Austin Smotherman with that top 40 coverage. So you could take that.
Absolutely. Again, those top 40s, and we're going to get to them in this show as well. Those are bankroll boosters, but I just look at the top of the board and it felt like, wow, I had three or four of the best players in the world in contention on Sunday. I know Xander kind of surged. He shot 61 on Sunday, never really threatened, but close. Credit to KH Lee, made the birdies when he needed to.
I took a shot on Matsuyama live on the fourth, just to see what would happen in the fourth day. And I was right about just like 2 seconds away from slacking you and bitching and moaning about another bad decision that I made. Because usually, for some reason, that turns things around. It doesn't matter what sport or what bet it is. If I bitch to Ben, then somehow the karma wars, right? Laws, pardon me, come around. But he was hovering for the most part. But look, I'm just happy to move past that as well, because we go from what should be the easiest course, the easiest weekend we'll see, if not one, top two or three at most, to now one of the more difficult opportunities to just clear the field, I think, more so than anything else. So let's open things up with the PGA. But first, look, you mentioned it, building a bankroll. There may not be a better opportunity across the board than taking advantage of what we have here with BetMGM. So it's really simple. Click that link below, sign up with our promo code, either or, right? You can click that link below. It's going to take you right to BetMGM. Or if you're going app or website, use our promo code OSPGA and bet $10, right? You have to deposit at least $10 and then bet that $10. You'll win $200 if any NBA playoff game, either team, hits a three-pointer. I think we're going to see that. You don't need my three-point props to know that's going to happen.
Even the Suns made a couple. So if they can do it, anybody can do it. You get that free money. And the really good thing about this, we've been running it for a little while and it's still going. And we've had a handful of people in recent weeks deposit and play and join our Discord as well. And they're really enjoying it. They've got that $200 to allocate to some sports they haven't played yet. If you're hopping into golf for the first time this week, why not take the free money to bet on a sport that might be new for you? Or you get a couple extra shots in the outright market. So it's been fun. Thanks to BetMGM for still offering that, because it's a great way to take advantage.
Free money. You click the link, OSPGA. You have to deposit at least 10. You bet that 10. Any team hits a three-pointer, you win $200. All right, and then you can start putting that money to use with some picks and plays that we have. So we always start at the top of the board. You'll see across here what Chris has put up, 40-20-10. We're going to hit that coming up where we have a player. Has to be plus money across the board. But let's start on the opposite end. At the top, And you went a little low, and I'm a little surprised, but it's a field play as always for you. My cutoff was around 20 to 1 because I just felt like I'd be giving money back. But I'm sure you're going to make a sound, reasonable argument for why you have somebody less than that.
I mean, I think the biggest argument is that when you really look at who wins majors, and I mean, we'll throw Phil Mickelson out.
Yes.
You know, top end players are taking these down. So you got to find the right odds. And certainly the board is crowded now that Scottie Scheffler has taken over. He's in this group with Rahm and Rory and Justin Thomas and whatnot. I did find myself, though, Rory, runner up at the Masters, fifth at Wells Fargo. He's got every shot in the bag. 14 to 1. He is my favorite. I do think that I can get on board with it. Is it my favorite bet of the week? No. But do I think that for his odds, he's the best value of the elite players? I do. I think that his combination is strong around the green game. He's a way better bent grass putter than you would imagine.
Yep.
I think it checks a lot of boxes. The major drought is a serious drought for a guy as good as Rory, but I'm going to get the card. He is on the card started. 14 to 1 for Rory McIlroy.
Here's the thing. If you are going to get tighter on that return, like a 14 to 1 on BetMGM, as you see, not go a little higher in that 2000 range, this was a guy, and I think it's under discussed because we brought it up ahead of the Wells Fargo, but there was so much conversation about, well, Rory isn't the automatic favorite because the course changed. He went to Potomac. What did he do? He finished runner up in that event. And I think the way in which he's playing, knowing that there is something about getting tight, getting down Saturday, and then ultimately Sunday, handling yourself either one, two strokes back or holding that lead, being in contention, knowing that he's hovering. And that's kind of a theme for me. I love it. I tailed it. As soon as I saw it on the sheet, I tailed it. I jumped on Rory. Now you have another one that's a little bit longer, but I think Rory's a great place to kind of open up the conversation, especially how he's been playing, which again, I thought went a little under discussed heading into this week.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're going to see what Rory can do here, but no matter how the course plays, and we're going to talk about that, I think he sets up well. Then the guy that I know I can't get right, I liked him a little at the Masters, and he made one birdie in 2 days, but Xander did close with 61 last week. He dominated 10 strokes gained tee to green after making the cut on the number. Another guy off the tee game checks out. Well-rounded, no glaring weakness. He gains in all four categories. He's in the mid-20s. For this event, looking to break through. He's been close a number of times. 25 to 1 for Xander to win his first major. I think that's a buy for me.
That's the key here. First major. It's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
It's been close.
He has been. And again, we're going to talk about it. Before I get to my favorites, and we should have jumped in ahead of time. That's my fault. We could sandwich it in right here, though, is just looking at the biggest concern. I don't even think it's concerns, Ben. I think it's just one major concern, and that's the weather and how that's going to impact really this entire weekend. I mean, look, we're all in the Northeast right now, and when we're doing this earlier in the week, we're dealing with possible tornado and whatever situations. Expected super high winds starting this weekend. So looking around, that's a pretty big factor in how you're betting, I imagine.
It certainly is. And we're going to see, you know, later in the week. And that's why you want to like and subscribe and join this channel as the tee times come out, as more information circulates. But this is one thing I want to say, and I should have led with this. The Masters, every year it's at Augusta. We know that. This is a rotational. Yep. We haven't seen Southern Hills. We don't know what's going on. There's been renovations. This could be incredibly difficult. It could be easier than people expect. We just don't know. So trying to gauge how hard is this going to play is a huge part of who I bet this week and who I think has a chance.
So following on that, there's just looking at metrics and data and tools that you would use. A lot of this is difficult because the field becomes increasingly more or harder to beat, right? In a major, that's just the obvious. On top of that, you're dealing with weather, what we believe to be extreme enough to really impact who's out there. So if you're just looking at, you know, strokes gained is huge, right? But you try to find another way to kind of balance what somebody's doing against the field. So the more difficult the field, the more it should weight as far as your strokes gained, right? Because if you're doing that last week on a course in which, all right, you should be able to cruise by if you're a top third golfer in the world, then it shouldn't match up as far as what you were doing against the field at Augusta, for example. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, level of competition is always very important. You know, if you're playing against weak fields and easy courses, yep, a lot of times your irons and whatnot look good. It's all relative, but certainly in a field like this against the best of the best, what you need here is also different. You better be able to scramble. You better be able to get up and down for bogey at times. This is not, you know, you got to make six birdies in a row to win this. A couple birdies each day and you're going to be more than fine.
We're going to talk about, I know he's coming up here at some point, right, Spieth? Or do you not have him on your list here?
So I don't know what to do with him. He sets up well. The ball striking has looked good. It's not a Texas course, but it's close enough. This is, I think, the area of the country that he would thrive in.
Territory. I think that's a good way to describe it. Territory. Right? His territory, his area.
Region. How's that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Inside 20-1 for Spieth. I think it's probably warranted. I think the price is fair. I'm not going to have three guys inside 25-1. Rory and Xander were a little ahead of him. If you told me you like Spieth, I would not push back.
I do not, actually. And it's contrary, I think, to the guy that I do have, which, and look, anybody that's going to be 30-35-1 or closer up there to the top favorite is going to be a big name on tour. So it's not like you can thoroughly hide by any means. But I do think when I look at the difference of all of the public love, and it's not just money, Ben, but it's just, this is everybody's favorite, right? He's the first guy that pops up on a Google search. He's all over the place. Spieth. Way too much public love for me in these types of situations for him to go in there and win. There's a guy who has been getting a lot of public love. I know that you balance how you feel on him, emotionally at least. But I do feel like because of the events that he's played recently, you date back to that double that we saw in New Orleans. Guy like Cam Smith at 20-1, if you can fly under the radar, I think Cam Smith has been to the point where I like him at 20-1, especially how he's been playing and on top of the fact that he's not getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with Cam
Smith.
You have
more of a hate relationship.
I can't get him right. He won the Players, third at the Masters, then he missed the cut at Heritage. He's an unbelievable scrambler. He's an elite wind player. He can work in and out of trouble. I will say, though, the one thing about Cam Smith that's a little counterintuitive, if the course is crazy hard, he actually doesn't play that well. Like, his U.S. Open record is terrible. And so I do think there's some really good things, the bunkers, things like that, mm-hmm. that he can work out of. But if it's just, like, absolutely insane, and this is a long course, and if it's not burnt out for some reason, I don't know about Cam Smith. But there's no doubting the talent. Another guy that I think most people think eventually is going to be hoisting a major or two in his career. So I get it. He's not my preferred target, but north of 20 or angling around 20, that's a very reasonable starting point, in my opinion.
One more guy, quick food for thought here. And speaking of under the radar, it's somebody who definitely gets a lot of crowd love and public love when he's been playing, but he hasn't really been playing, I think, what, one time since I mentioned that doubles that we saw, and that's Hovland. And I feel like Hovland at 25-1 might be worth a shot here because he just hasn't played enough since we saw him in New Orleans. And maybe that's enough for people to be out of sight, out of mind, but he hasn't been horrible. Now, look, he needs to work on a couple of things. I get that. That's why he's at 25-1, but I thought that was an interesting number. By the way, Cam Smith, 22-1. So that's even better.
So Hovland's the complete opposite in the sense that his game, you just know he has to survive around the green. If he does that, everything else is as good as anyone in the field. He's a dominant driver. His approach game is absolutely lethal. His putting's gotten a lot better. He's lost in 5 of 6 around the green. If this becomes a scramble fest, I think Victor Hovland is dead in the water. If it doesn't, and he can lean on the ball striking, he's probably undervalued. He's got more talent than almost anyone in this field, and we've seen that at times. So I look to him to have a pretty polarizing finish. I don't like him for top 20s or top 40s because I think that he could miss the cut pretty easily. And I also think he has a chance to win.
Yeah. And you know, we don't talk about that really a lot here, if at all. And that's the difference of, hey, you like a guy to win versus I like a guy to win, and therefore I'm going to build a 20, 30, 40 ladder with him.
Absolutely. Certain guys, I think it's a much more, like Bryson's the easiest example, Cam Champ as well. Sure. they win a lot of tournaments and they miss a lot of cuts relative to their talent. Because when they don't have it and when it's not off the tee centric, forget it. Well-rounded players, Patrick Cantlay is the best example to me. No matter how this course plays, Patrick Cantlay just does his thing. Irons, putting, scrambling, driving, it's all about the same, all above average. I think that makes him a lot safer than those guys, but the win equity is probably lower because the ceiling is lower.
All right. Reminder, as we keep telling you each and every week, Ben Rossa here, and he's not alone. We've got Steve Buzzard and Alex Baker. So we've got some pretty sharp individuals giving out picks on our premium betting Discord. There's an easy way to be a part of that. All you do is just click that link below. You see, Chris has put it up here, and you get all of this as part of our Awesomos premium betting picks, our Discord. Oh, and by the way, coming with all of this, winning picks, right? Like, it's one thing to put up a graphic and say, hey, you get all this shit here, but we're backing it up with winning picks as well. And, you know, Ross is never going to tell you there because he's the most modest of them all, but this guy is just absolutely crushing it. So that's a nice little bonus of not just getting all of this, but you're also getting three really sharp individuals giving you plays. So you guys just keep it up. That's all we can really ask from you, especially all of us who are tailing you.
That's what we're going to do. No, I'll just say this very quick. Most common question I get from people is like, I'm interested in this. How's it been going? Yep. We have a downloadable ROI tracker. You can see all the bets from the package. Do your own research, check it out and say, okay, this is something I'm interested in, or it's not for me. Totally transparent. That's something we really preach strongly. You guys will see the bets that have been made historically before you potentially sign up.
All right, let's move to the mid-range. We have a couple of long shots here, a 40-20-10 we'll get to, but this is the big week by all means. So we want to focus on as much as we can. Normally, we don't spend as much at the top because there's great value mid, back end range here. Not so much with the majors. It does shift a little bit, but that doesn't mean that a guy from 30 to 120 to 1 isn't going to find some value here. All right, take it away with your mid-range plays.
Yeah, I'll save a little time here. I don't have a ton. There's a lot of names. First one's very easy for me. It's Joaquin Niemann, 40 to 1. This guy's talk about someone who's going to win majors. I think the ceiling is sky high. He faded strongly, but the form was still there at Byron Nelson. He absolutely smoked at the Genesis earlier this year in a major-level field, led from start to finish. I know that he can do it. He's starting to make cuts at majors. He's starting to get that experience. It's probably a little early for him, but at 40 to 1, I'll still back it. Now I'm going to throw out my man Ty Hatton. Just if it's really windy and really nasty, I think that he could win a tournament at 5, 6, 7 under. We've seen that before. He's making cuts. The form is not great. I don't love it, to be honest, but when I saw 66 to 1, that was a number I could get behind. He's got a top 10 at a U.S. Open. I'm kind of treating this like a U.S. Open in some regards. So those are two names in the mid-range that caught my eye.
I mean, look, Niemann, I feel like it's every week we have this conversation. And last week we both had tickets on him and hoping, of course, that would cash and clear. But it's just how he's been playing overall where, you know, and you mentioned it, he's hovering. And that's just the key here. Going back to just looking at two things, and I know always every week I'm trying to get you with a bunch of different stats or metrics that we can put in our own little quasi show model and regurgitate something out here, but it's really just strokes gained in high winds, and the other one is just strokes gained in difficult conditions that are beyond right just the winds. It's just consider that right there. And if you look at Niemann, he pops up in this field as somebody who has consistently top 10, if you will, strokes gained across the board in high winds. So you can trust him. Not only has he's been playing consistently, but on top of that, with the weather adjustment, the other guy is the guy that I knew you would steal, who we're going to talk about as far as a long shot, because he pops up in both and he's really sharp here, especially with the number that you got him on BetMGM. But yeah, I love Niemann. Hatton, I think you're just going to ride or die with until he wins one. So you could turn around and say, I told you. Exactly right. Yes. Which is nothing wrong with that by any means, my friend. All right. The only one that I would add here in this range would be Matthew Fitzpatrick. And just kind of looking again at how he's been playing, as well as taking a shot on a number, and wanted to just bounce that off you, mainly because I didn't love, clearly the guys that you have, especially Niemann, would be one that I would flock to right away. But I didn't love that kind of range around him. And I thought he would be an interesting play at where you could get him on BetMGM. based on where he is with the rest of kind of that pack of the field.
I have no problem with them. The thing about Fitzy right now, he still hasn't won in America. I think he's shown he makes cuts in majors. He contends in majors. He cashes top 10s and top 20 tickets in majors. Winning the event would be a massive step up for him. So I think that he's going to play pretty well. He's a DFS target for me, and he's probably going to be on my card, I think, more for a top 10 or top 20 rather than backing him, you know, 37-1, 40-1, something around there for a guy that still has not won on the PGA Tour.
If I got similar odds for Keegan Bradley, you'd rather go Bradley based on how he's been playing, maybe?
No, I would rather go Fitzy.
Okay.
I just think Fitzy's a better play. Like, actually, I would rather go Fitzy. Don't put Keegan in there. Get that out of there.
I was just using somebody similar.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I would go Fitzy.
All right. You have the best. You found the best guy with the best number, and I even looked elsewhere. I am amazed that BetMGM, but thank you, BetMGM, for doing us this favor. And again, we'll tell you about how you can take this free money and put it on Ben's first long shot here. But I'm blown away at this number more so than anything else.
Here we go. The man himself. He's got a runner-up finish. What if I told you? I'll do the 30 for 30. What if I told you? This guy's got a runner-up finish at all four majors and the Players. Louis Oosthuizen. He also has a major, but this is a guy. One, why do I like this? Because if he withdraws before the tournament, it's a void. You don't lose anything. They'll give you your money back. Two, he's 80-1.
Ridiculous.
We know that this guy can handle crazy conditions. If the more difficult, the better. This is a fantastic setup. Is his game in good shape? I have no idea. It doesn't really look like it, but Louis flips the switch each and every time he's at a major. Don't worry about recent form. If you're going to tell me that I'm going to get 80-1 on a guy who is built to win at tournaments inside 10 under, I will sign myself up, even though like Fitzy, he's searching for a breakthrough win. I know he can do it. 80-1 is too good to pass up.
No, I love this. I've played him because I've just had this feeling. As soon as I saw that, well, looking at him, he just jumped out as a good pick. And then when I saw the sheet at 80-1, it made so much sense. But I go back again. I want strokes gained, high wins. I want to go back the last 2 years beyond just majors to see what these guys in the field, who shakes out as far as top 10 in this field, strokes gained in high wins in dangerous conditions. Difficult scoring conditions is technically the term here. And it's Oosthuizen. It's Louis.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why. You mentioned as far as a guy that we talked about earlier in the show having difficulty, Cam Smith, when things get tighter at the PGA. Louis is bulletproof. Like, it doesn't matter what condition you throw at him. If his game is on, he's going to hang. And I love it. I think there are a bunch of different ways. We'll talk about it on the final card, but I'm not going to add anything more to the fact that I just absolutely love that. Now we can get into like true long shots, because this is like Manu Ginobili or Tyler Hero being labeled a sixth man. Like, something's a little off on that.
Yeah. I didn't. Manu Ginobili didn't think he was going to be in the show today.
Well, I had to make sure that I was hitting the old and the new crowd. No, I got you. That's why I gave you. All right.
I like it. Yeah, the good Marian. Thing about a major, you can find guys north of 100-1 that are legitimate players. And for me, this is a guy that he's been a struggle at times. I comp this a little to the Farmers. So that's probably how I arrived here. It's Mark Leishman at 125-1. He won the Farmers, and he's got 2 seconds at the Farmers. I think Torrey South is a pretty good comp. The thing I like about Mark Leishman, he has proven time and time again, he can be really effective when he misses the fairway still. He can work in and out of trouble. And in a course like this, from what I have seen, if you miss the fairway, you're either not in trouble or you're in fescue. If you're in fescue, it doesn't matter who you are. You can't get out. If you're not in trouble, you'll be able to navigate it. So I think that Mark Leishman is the type of player that in weird conditions, he's Australian, sand, all that stuff is a positive for him. 125-1 as a guy who's been close in majors, should have an open. I'm okay with it. He's my last man in the outright card.
That's not bad, man. You brought him up a couple of times. We talked about him in the match play as well.
Yep.
And definitely just have had an eye on him because he's come up in conversation, not just to win it, but just in conversation on the show. Let me throw two at you real quick and we'll go rapid fire. Just one in the sense of it's going to happen. But first, with Luke List at 120-1, he's been playing well to where, look, if you're going to go 120, if you're going to go triple digits or higher, then I'll take at least a shot on a guy who's played a lot, and maybe there's something there. And then it's Maverick McNealy, who you and I know he's going to win. It's going to be at one point he's going to win. And maybe this is like a Zalatoris scenario where he just hovers and plays deep. But I have a better feeling about McNealy hanging and at least being relevant at some point than anybody else kind of in that back end. So at 120, like, take a shot. Why not? Put a dollar on it. See what happens.
I mean, the thing with guys like this is just a massive step up. They don't play in a lot of, they don't have a ton of major experience. We know week in and week out, Luke List has won. Maverick is going to win on the PGA Tour at some point. Majors are a little different, but again, we're talking about north of 100. Maybe they get off to a quick start. Maybe the conditions suit them. You need things to break their way. For Luke List, he has to putt better. For Maverick, he just can't get into major trouble in the bunkers. That would be my biggest worry with him.
40-20-10. The only rule here is that a guy has to be plus money at top 40. So you can't slide in anybody at minus 101 or 105, what have you. BetMGM and across the board, you have to be able to get plus money at a top 40 spot. 40-20-10, who's yours?
Tommy Fleetwood. Again, why do I love majors? Because you can get world-class players plus money for a top 40, plus 140 for Tommy Fleetwood. He's been consistently making cuts. So ball striking is good. He's a European player. He's used to crazy conditions. That's not anything I worry about. He hasn't missed a cut since February. Ball striking checks out. He's been inside the top 40 in 5 of 6 starts of his last 6. You're going to give me plus money on that? I will take that every time.
So I'm going to quasi appeal to your world in the sense of looking at a guy who I feel pops up a lot as far as like a low cost option in DFS, which means that he should be able to hover top 40. Like if you're playing somebody 66, 6,700 on DK in DFS, you're expecting that guy to make the cut. You're expecting that guy to give you, you know, that top 40 range. And someone like Aaron Wise, who has been playing well enough, I think, to match up with that. And you're right. Like when you get to a major, there is a definitive line of who you are and what you've done versus, okay, have you done it at a major? Have you played against a better, deeper field? But if I look at the return that I could get for Aaron Wise, starting at 2-1 on BetMGM for a top 40 play, I want to sink into that one. So that would be my response as my guy.
I mean, Aaron Wise is a...
You hate it.
I don't hate it. Listen, Aaron Wise in 2019 was only one of a couple players. He made the cut in all 4 majors in a year.
Yeah.
That's extremely difficult to do. This guy knows what he's doing. He's been inside the top 20 in a PGA. He's made the cut in a PGA championship 2 out of 3. It's just simply, what is he going to do if he can't putt here? If he can't putt here, you could forget it. I do think the lower scoring helps him because you're not putting for birdie on every hole. You're trying to hit it to 2 feet and par. That's much better for lag putting and whatnot. So I get it. He just needs to avoid, you can't be 3 or 4 putting and expect to compete against these guys.
The difference, and this is why I like Wise, this week, you've got long par fives that stretch over 600 yards. You've got really bad wind conditions here. You're not going to be able to eagle. You're not going to be able to get on in 3 and just tap in. Like, you're going to have to work. If you're going to score on these par fives this week, Ben, you're going to have to work for it, which may help mitigate a guy like Wise, like List, who struggle with putting more so than not. That's kind of my approach on this, is trying to play the elements kind of as a bonus to the field. But you're right. I mean, that's why we're talking about a 2-1 on a top 40 play, because there's some concerns. All right, brother.
No doubt. Let me ask you this real quick. Yeah. I'm calling an audible at the line of scrimmage.
Let's do it.
Will you have Tiger on the card at all?
The only thing that I will have with Tiger, and I am glad you brought that up, because we rightfully so glossed over this whole Mickelson nonsense. Who cares? Yeah. But there is going to be a lot of attention and focus on Tiger. This course is much better for what Tiger is now than Augusta. And if Tiger was able to make the cut at Augusta, if I can get, I don't know, even money, if I can get a good, decent return on Tiger making the cut, or I'm not throwing a bunch on a VIG, something like that, then that's what I'm interested in. That's the most confident I am in any Tiger Woods bet, Ben, is that he makes the cut because of the course fit better than what we saw at Augusta, and he still made it at the Masters.
It's a much easier cut at Augusta. That's my one pushback. It's only 80 guys in that field. This is a full field, even with the PGA pros and whatnot. And it's a long course. Augusta, he knows inside and out. It's a much easier walk for him. I'll give him that. I don't really see him. I don't know what else I could say. I'm not going to bet him to miss the cut. I think maybe in the matchups market. And again, stay tuned on this very channel. I'm going to have a matchup VOD for my best bet of the day on Wednesday. Maybe Tiger will be in there. If we get some quality players against him, I will look to short him in matchups.
All right. That's coming out on Wednesday, right?
Yep.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give people an opportunity to bankroll some money on Tuesday ahead of time. So click that link below to get on BetMGM or use our promo code OSPGA. Either one's going to take you to BetMGM and get you ready to go. You have to deposit at least $10 and then bet $10 for any team in the NBA playoffs. That's Tuesday night. That's tomorrow night here when we record Tuesday night to score a three-pointer, knock down a three. That's it. And you're going to win $200. Bet 10 to win 200 so long as a team hits a three-pointer. Click the link below, deposit at least $10, and place that wager. And you're going to have $200 to play with once Ben tells you what to do on his betting VOD video that comes out for the PGA. Even though we've got a ton here, you're going to get up-to-date stuff. That's why you subscribe as well. So not only giving you up-to-date information, we're also bankrolling you some money to play with. Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Final card. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm going to keep it simple. I got Rory at the top. I got Neiman in the mid-range as my ceiling play. And then I think that Tommy Fleetwood is going to have a really good showing here. Maybe a top 40, a top 30, a top 20 type wheel. If you want a crazy long shot, I wouldn't be stunned if Mark Leishman gets the right conditions for him to be just hanging around. Loft, he's experienced. 125-1. That's as high as I would go.
Not bad, man. That's a solid card right there.
I feel really good about my card this week. Some weeks
I do.
You look at it and you say, ah, this is tough. I feel really good about the guys who have a real opportunity here.
So one thing that I want to just talk about is how to play Louis outside of just winning him. And what I did was definitely playing him to win outright. Love that play. But because of his odds and because it's off, the reflection of where he is, top 40, top 20, you're going to get a decent number there. Absolutely love him, top 20. And if you can find, you know, as you get closer, you'll see these wacky groupings, right? Or best from a region. He's 320 where I saw him to be the top South African. And I think that's a strong play. Just over 3-1 in a grouping that he should dominate if we're talking about him finishing in the lead or at least top 20. And then that's kind of how I would look at it. And I also want to get a little creative here, which is taking guys, and you mentioned one in Patrick Cantlay, that I can count on to huff. Now, list is going to be a little bit of a leap here. I talked about him winning, but these three are going to be top 20s for me, Ben. It's going to be Max Homa, Patrick Cantlay, and then I'm going to throw a little bit of that long shot there in Luke List. But it's playing consistency from both Homa and Cantlay that I can count on while getting a positive number back for both of them to finish top 20.
That's the goal. I like that strategy. You get some of your quote, it's all relative, but your safer, less variant type players. Then it gives you the chance to bet Louis to win, to bet Fitzy to win, to bet some of these a little more long shot centric plays. So I am with you there. I will look into the South African thing. He's got to beat Bez. He's got to beat EVR. He should be the most likely winner. There's a pretty deep pool of South Africans in this.
There are.
Plus over 3-1, that's not the worst number I've seen. So I can get on board with that.
Oh, look at that. See?
I like region bets. Those are fun for majors, like top Australian, top South African. There's value in those potentially.
All right, brother. So we'll see how we do next week. But this is a big one. And as you said, just keep an eye out there for all of the betting content that's coming your way on the Odd Shopper channel, especially leading up to the PGA, leading up to Thursday. Make sure that you hit that thumbs up button. But as we tell you, subscribe so that you're not missing anything. Anything else you want to get out?
No, again, if you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at Shander Show, at JazzRazDFS, and stay tuned. It's a big week of golf. It's a long season of golf. We got plenty here at Odd Shopper to hopefully win some money and cash some tickets.
Love it. See you next week.